Okay, so I am Marnie Wasserman, and Plant Powered is kind of the slogan I've been using for the last, year or so, almost 2 years. So Plant Powered WBS is going to be the hashtag that I'm using this weekend, so feel free to use it. Tweet it, Instagram it, whatever you want, and we're actually doing a contest at my booth. So if you take a picture of yourself, we are giving away a basket of some fun goodies. So use that and stay plant-powered. So passion is, there's so much to talk about in that subject. And I know so much of probably what you're hearing today is, you know, there's a lot of online stuff, a lot of kind of technical stuff, and hopefully today I'm going to take you into the right brain, the creative, the energy, because that's really what got me started and got my business started. So, passion, the only business plan that you can trust. Well, it was the only business plan that I could trust. So that's really what carved my way. Might be a little bit different than what, you know, what you might think you need to do or what you may have been told you had to do. So I'll tell you a little bit about my journey today. So, I'm Marnie. Number one step. So, who I am. I'm a passionate girl that loves to eat, loves to educate, and I'm really committed to the world of nutrition. That's where my background started. I'm going to give you a little bit more detail on that as I go along. But what I love to do is I love to connect with people. I love to work with people one-on-one. I love to educate. I love to speak. I've got drive. I've got, you know, a lot of energy that kind of really got me going. And my journey started, I'd say, at a really young age. I was always into healthy eating, whatever that meant at the time. And it was just a matter of time over the years, and this was a long journey, for me to really kind of figure out what that meant. Because it's one thing to just love food, it's one thing to eat well, but it's one thing to actually kind of define what that means for you, and little did I know that that was actually going to become my career. Had no idea. So, one that I'm actually very proud of. So my story in a nutshell. There's no crisis, there's no sob story, there's just, at the end of the day, there's passion. So I started in kinesiology and health sciences. So I was a personal trainer. I was really committed to the fitness industry. That's kind of who I was. And I was working as a trainer, doing a little bit of nutrition on the side. I was working with clients, getting them on meal plans, getting people. It was very technical at the time because I was really focused on quantitative, not qualitative. I was focused on protein, carb, fat. That's where my mindset was at. I was really focused on training. Everything was in numbers and sets. Like, everything was just very, as I said, quantitative. So I didn't really kind of bring my world out until I started to really actually delve into the health world in terms of nutrition. That actually changed my whole perception of how I educated people and how I started integrating into my own life and into my own health. So while I was at York University, I very quickly figured out that I really wanted to go into nutrition, but I thought I need to become a dietitian to do anything. I thought I needed the credentials. I needed to, you know, do whatever I needed to do to become properly registered in order to have a career. I was wrong. So I went to Ryerson. I lasted 1 year. Any students at Ryerson right now in dietetics? Just curious. So I lasted 1 year. It was very much against the grain of who I was. You know, I was already doing the natural thing on my own. I didn't know what that meant in terms of career. I just knew what felt intuitively right to me. So 1 year, fighting with dietitians, fighting with teachers, I couldn't be put into this, you know, again, quantitative approach to healthy eating, healthy living, which to me wasn't actually healthy. So I left the program, went to the Institute of Holistic Nutrition, which, how many hands are out there? Yeah, CSNN is also great too, but IHN is where I went. And so I did my certificate there. I did it part-time. I was working as a trainer still, and I got to really soak in the knowledge. So to me, going to this school wasn't school. It was like going to a workshop a couple times a week to learn about what I already loved. So it really just solidified everything I was already doing, sealed the deal, made things real for me, and I was just so happy, but still had no idea where I was going, which is okay for all you out there. It's okay. You don't need to put the pressure on yourself to know where you're going just because you're in a program. It may just be for your life, for your health, who knows what. So went to IHN, and then I found out about the Natural Gourmet School. Anyone know about that school in New York? It's a culinary school. Has anyone been there that's in the room? Just out of curiosity, you can just raise your hand. No? So it's called the Natural Gourmet Culinary School. It's in New York City, so I was, again, really passionate about food. Didn't really want to become a chef, and that really, again, got solidified while it was there, which was kind of interesting. I'm going to chef school, but didn't want to become a chef. So I went there because it was going to take my nutrition knowledge a little bit further, allow me to delve a little bit more into the kitchen, and hopefully help me figure out what I was going to do. Loved it. It was amazing. I gained confidence in the kitchen, became more efficient. But I also had a bit of a breakdown there because I realized I do not want to be chopping all day. I don't want to work at a restaurant. This is, what do I do? Just spent all this money to go live in New York for 6 months. But you know what? I came back and things started to kind of come together. But what really made the most sense to me was cooking classes. I'm going to get into this in a second. But what made the most sense to me was I was already taking a couple cooking classes on my own. I loved going to different, I went to the Big Carrot, I went to Ricky Heller, I went to different places around the city. I loved the idea of just learning, educating, putting the pieces together, and that's what made sense to me. So now we're going to get a little bit into how my business got started the backwards way. So I had no plan. I came back from school. I wanted to have something. I wanted to do something with the knowledge. I just spent a lot of money, spent a lot of time, was starting to kind of put the pieces together of who I was, defining who I was, and I just started to get the ball rolling. But what did I need to do for that? I needed to get my message out, but I didn't know how, had no business background, had no marketing training. I just wanted to start sharing my love for nutrition. But I didn't know that I wanted to make money from it. I didn't even think that far ahead. It was just, let me just start doing something. Personal training was under my belt. Nutrition, consulting was something I already kind of experienced, but now I wanted something a little bit further. So no course can really teach you anything, but yet I was in the mindset that I had to get started. So what did I do? I went to George Brown and took their, I think it was called Business 101, and it was like a series of business courses, marketing, step-by-step approach to how to start a business. Totally useless, total waste of time. Didn't learn anything, but we got to kind of make a business plan, figure out what you want to do, get your domain registered, all the logical steps. I started a couple things. That is when I got I got fullynourished.ca, which was my first real website. I got that going. A couple other technical things that helped me, that allowed me to start the business, to get it somewhat going, but again, I couldn't see past 6 months. Could just see the here and now. So I'm organized, relatively, but I'm also impatient. And what that worked to my benefit, because what that allowed me to do was just start. Was just kind of keep the momentum going and just get things out there. So here's the out of order way that I got my business started. So I started teaching cooking classes, and I didn't know what that looked like. So the first thing I did when I came back from culinary school, just stepping back for a second, is I had this tasting event at my parents' house. I invited everyone that I knew. I let people in the community that I'd already kind of become friends with from personal training, from my nutrition world, to my parents' friends, to anyone that just knew me and knew what I was up to. Had this huge event at my parents' home, made all these recipes, made this food, and started promoting my first cooking class, which was 2 weeks out. So I figured, okay, this will be a good way. At least the people who love me, at least maybe they'll sign up. So figured I'd start that way. And I was very lucky to have a space to be able to start my business. Not everyone has that. Not everyone has a super supportive family like I have. You know, that allowed me to use that kitchen. And I know a few people here have been to that kitchen. But to use their space to be able to start the business. And so, you know, that's a huge perk in my direction, and maybe some of you have that availability, maybe your own space, maybe your parents or whoever, but if you have something to start that will save you all those initial costs, really, really important. So started teaching cooking classes, then I got a blog together. Again, this is something that I was told, start a blog, get that domain name that I had started, do something with it. So started sharing recipes, started promoting the upcoming classes that I had coming up. I started, you know, giving class updates, but it was so, when I look back now, and I know one of my girls here, see some of the old posts, they're all so, you know, and you got to start somewhere, but it's funny, the pictures that I loaded up and the things that I did, it's like, wow, it was just showing that I was just wanting to get started, but I had no idea what I was doing, and that's, again, that's okay. I was getting my message out there. So I started, and then the next logical step again, but to me it was still kind of backwards because I didn't have any infrastructure. I didn't have a brand yet. I didn't have a business account yet, but I got into a trade show. So someone told me I should go to a trade show, get my brand out there, get my name out there. So I did that, but I was so scared. You know, I just started. I think at this point I just got my logo together more or less, but it wasn't totally solidified. And I just put myself out there. But 2 weeks out, maybe a month out, I called up the organizer and I was like, I can't do this. I can't be there. I don't know what to do. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to. I don't know what the blockage was, what fear I had about getting my name and my brand out there. Anyway, she said, you're not going to get your money back, so take it or leave it. I took it. I went. I put myself out there. It wasn't even that good of a trade show. There's so many amazing events in Toronto, and I ended up at one that it was actually their last year. It was so bad. But the good news is I stood out. I was someone different. I wasn't just another health product. I wasn't just another, you know, there was a lot of, I think, chiropractors and naturopaths, but I was doing something different. I was doing cooking classes, plant-based, something different. I guess maybe the green of my logo stood out. Whatever it was good for me. Not so much financially, but recognition. People were signing up for my email list. People were asking questions. People were super interested. I was like, okay, I'm onto something. Things are, you know, there's something here. So that's when I decided to, for my first website, I think it was on an Apple computer. I built my own website, and I had no idea. This didn't require any code or anything. We're talking like drag and drop. So I built my own website, and it felt like I had something. The problem is that it didn't do anything for me monetarily. Can't get payments from it. People couldn't sign up for newsletters. There was nothing. It was just a landing page, which again is fine in the beginning. So I'm not putting that down because it worked for me. I had something. I could say, go to marniewassman.com and at least you see something. So it worked. But my logo and my brand just kind of trickled and started getting into place. And for that, for me, once that was created, it became real. So once I saw a branding coach, someone who helped get my business going, you know, I saw my logo, saw my name. I was like, okay, I can do this. I can figure out things from here. And then I opened a business account, again, all kind of later. So just so you know, you don't have to have all your ducks in a row. It was March that I more or less started getting my message out there, starting promoting some classes, and I'd say it was December, if not January, that I really took my business seriously, and it became somewhat of, you know, there was momentum. So the somewhat in order stages of my business is when the real website came to life, which means I integrated PayPal into it. I started having newsletter signups. My blog was still separate. I didn't know that you could combine the two at the time. So I had a different website for my blog, and I had a different website for my website, like for my actual classes and what I was up to. So unfortunately, it said blog, and then you click over to another website. But it still all worked. And then I started creating more classes, started doing retreats, started doing workshops, really spread my creative nutrition wings and got a chance to really delve into what I wanted to. And I was starting to see it pick up. People were coming. People were asking questions. People were creating their own events saying, how about you do this? Maybe you do something in Costa Rica. I would come. I would book it. So it got me going. So I really got, I was lucky that I had the community to almost help lead me on my journey and help me find my path even more and develop it. So, and where the plant-based comes in is I've always been into, as I said, healthy eating. And what that meant for me was just clean food. In the beginning stages of my business, it was a little bit mixed. But again, the community was telling me we want vegetarian ideas. Even if people weren't vegetarian, even if people weren't vegan, they wanted more plant-based ideas. So over the years, my business even transitioned and kind of solidified more into being 100% plant-based. So I was doing demonstrations, speaking at events, everything from the Vegetarian Food Festival to, I got asked by different organizations. Wellspring was a wonderful organization that really helped me get out there. I was speaking in front of all kinds of groups, from cancer survivors to medical doctors even, dietitians. It's throwing me right back into that. And I got a chance to really educate people, which was really kind of special for me because, again, I was getting my message out, which I started realizing this is so what I need to be doing. Not only the small cooking classes, but I need to be, you know, getting out to the community and engaging with more and more people. So all kinds of fun things happen along the way. And then I was doing a lot of writing. as well. So I was very lucky to publish an article that was on fermented foods through Chatelaine, and Wiley, the publishing company, picked it up. And even though I was already kind of working towards my own book title, I was kind of writing a book on the side because, again, wanting to get my message out. So I had a book deal, and I was a little bit hesitant to take it because I really wanted to do something else, but at the same time, I couldn't turn down the opportunity. Again, all part of not having a plan and just allowing things to come at you and taking them as they come. Super important. Just to kind of throw it to you guys for a second, who here finds that they're following a plan and who here finds that you're just kind of winging it? Just to get an idea, following a plan. Like you've actually written stuff down and you're going for it, and you're just kind of, who here is just kind of letting the gun point at you and, okay, good. Just want to see who I'm talking to so that we can relate here. So, yeah, so I let that happen. So I let the book deal come through. It was a bit of a challenge, and this all happened right when I was opening up my food studio, which I'm going to get to in a second. So it was there was a lot happening in my life at that time, and I really had to kind of put my resources together, but I wanted, again, to get my message out. And even though fermenting was something that I loved, you know, by no means was it like everything my business was about, but it was something I really wanted to take on as a challenge. So it actually was a little bit of a challenge because I had to put a book together. And I, you know, after about 2 weeks after I got offered the book deal, I realized, okay, wait, fermented foods means everything fermented. That means meat, that means dairy, that means I don't do that. So I kind of threw it back at them. I said, either I'm going to take this deal and do just plant-based, or you got to bring on a co-author, or I got to pass it off. Anyways, I was very lucky to have that conversation with them, and I co-authored that book. So when it came time for round two for plant-based, they asked me, they said, we want to do another book with you. I said, I'm not going to do anything unless it's plant-based for dummies. So I was very lucky to get that, and that book now is my baby because it's my resource that's got everything in it that I kind of want to share and say, topics, recipes, and it's just a great guide, a guidebook. So that came out this past summer. So that was, again, it was really back-to-back. So what's different about the Dummies books is that their timeline is a lot more cohesive than a regular book deal, which usually takes about 2 to 3 years. So I pretty much put two books out within the span of a year and a half, which was kind of crazy. And I opened my food studio at the same time. So, again, without a plan. So it all kind of worked. So let me bring you to the food studio, how that came to life. I was teaching in my parents' home for many years. It was great. It was wonderful. But I knew that it couldn't survive there. Longevity. Sure, I could do it, but then it kind of stays low-key. I was starting to get a lot of private party requests, a lot of people wanting to do things in off hours. So how could I do that? Hey, Mom, you know, can you guys go out tonight? I got this private. And I was doing that, and they were so amazing. So I couldn't go anywhere for a certain amount of time. And, you know, there was a dog at the house. Like, all these things that, like, you know, probably shouldn't have happened, but did. anyways, I decided I needed to open up my own space. I needed my own baby that was just mine. I didn't know how. Again, didn't put another plan together. I just knew I needed something. So I started looking, even without knowing what it was going to cost. I was like, okay, here's a budget that people told me I could work with. I spoke to some different business people and different developers and contractors. They're like, yeah, you could probably work with a budget of like 20 or 30,000 and get a kitchen up. It's just a kitchen. Like, it's just a kitchen. I was like, okay, cool. What did I know? So I found a space, and it cost way more than that, and we'll talk about that later. So I'm going to kind of leave that. We're going to come back to a couple little details on that, but this is something that has trickled through my entire situation of having my own business. It started a little bit late, but now I'm going to kind of switch gears for a little bit and talk about building a team and how important that is. So who here is part of a team, whether you've already started working for yourself? Do you have a couple people working with you? And yeah, really, really important. So you can't do it alone. And I am someone who likes to believe that I can do it alone. So I was doing everything myself in the beginning stages of my business. I was writing my newsletters. I was picking up the phone. I was taking transactions. I was doing it all. And I was also trying to plan a little bit for the future. But I realized that you can't grow your business unless you've got someone to help. So I think 2 years into my business, this is still when I was working at my parents' house, like way back when I started, and just to give you a reference, that was about 8 years ago. So I was working at my parents' home, and I brought on my first employee, who's actually Abigail, right over there in the far corner. So she was my first girl who worked for me part-time, and she was amazing, and I just was able to pass off stuff. I had someone to pick up the phone. I had someone to do all the little things and help me get organized and keep things kind of moving so I could kind of focus on organizing and building things. That was a very, very hard thing for me to let go of. For all the control freaks in the room, it's very hard. So it's very hard to, you know, how can someone do this and do a good job? Doesn't that mean I'm going to be working twice the amount of time? I'm going to be working on my stuff. Plus, I'm also going to be guiding them what to do and double checking. You start to get a rhythm and you start to figure it out. And now, you know, I've learned, I'm still learning how to delegate, how to maximize my role versus other people's roles, because it is a balancing act. So you need things to keep things moving. So you want to be able to find other people that can, you know, vary where you're at. But you have to also be cautious of where you're at financially, of where you're at, where your business, you know, where you want it to go. Do you want it to be a big corporate team or do you want to be at a small internal team? So I was able to bring on one person, then I brought on a couple people, and again, this is all before I had a studio, which had a whole other cost structure. So I was able to bring on a couple people part-time, then one person full-time, then I scaled back. It's kind of evolved over the years, but you want to be able to have different opportunities, and then you start to realize over the years all the different roles that you might need. So now that my business has become a business, that there is actually defined roles of what people can work on, it's, you know, you try and find people to fulfill different things, and it's constantly evolving. And you know, I've got a wonderful team, and some of them are right here with me today. And I'm very lucky that I've got, you know, someone working with me full time. I've got some people part time. I've got some wonderful people who are co-oping or interning or just giving their wonderful time to me. And my boyfriend as well is really super supportive. So it's just amazing to be able to have those resources available to you again for the bigger picture, which again is still always being defined. So providing opportunities. So if you have that ability as well with your business to provide opportunities for internships, co-ops, it's a win-win, right? You're gaining someone to come and help and contribute to your business. They're gaining experience, and you may even learn from them too. A lot of them have some wonderful things to contribute. So consider that depending on where your business is going. But a team is super, super important. You know, without it, it's just, it doesn't feel the same. You need that support system. So two kinds of teams. You know, and again, these lists could be longer. There could be a lot more integrated into this. And it's especially with the roles internally. Trust me, like, ask Vanessa at my table. There's a lot more than just this going on. So administration, day-to-day stuff. So who here has kind of one core person that's kind of handling day-to-day stuff? Anyone yet? A few people? Really important. You need that person. You need that wing person. You need someone to kind of be, for me at the studio right now, I need someone who's kind of on top of it all, making sure that things are running smoothly and just the day-to-day. Like, it's amazing. People always ask, so you've got a cooking class business. You teach cooking classes. What do you do during the day? A really frustrating question because there's so much that happens behind the scenes than just me showing up at night. So there's a lot that happens for the day-to-day. My business is so much more than just cooking classes at this point. It's so lateral. There's so many things happening. So emails, phone calls, social media internally. There's newsletters, editing, writing, community relations, just engaging with different companies and different people that I'm affiliated with and building those relationships and getting that going, so really important. And then externally, so these could be people that are freelance. These are people who you might just hire on a contract basis that you use one time, maybe continuously. It all depends on where your business is at. So business consultants. So I had a business consultant early on in my business that helped with my brand, helped with my image, helped with kind of how I was painting the picture of who I was, being, you know, plant-powered, without it being kind of the vegan girl who taught cooking classes, because that's not really what I wanted. I wanted like a clean, fresh image, so I had people help define that, so that anyone who landed on my website, they weren't seeing like, you know, something that was really super limiting. It was actually more inclusive to anyone can come and take my cooking classes, and that's really what I wanted. So web developers, websites. Who's having challenges with websites ongoing? It's an evolution. So my website has changed many times over the years. So luckily right now I've got a website that I do love, and hopefully you guys all go on it at some point. It's great. It's interactive. It's fresh. It's fun. But it's been an evolution, and it will probably change a year from now. So that's all part of the deal. So having graphic designers to help. So there's kind of micro graphic design work that's needed on a day-to-day basis. And again, depending on your skill set or depending on what your staff has, you know, different postcards, printed materials, things like that can be done internally. But if you need kind of bigger things that need to be printed, you may have to hire someone part-time, which is so key that I've realized having graphic design work is just such a huge asset. So if you have like those skills under your belt, awesome, like Illustrator, Adobe, not my skill set at all. Marketing coach, mentors, so different people who inspire you in the community that you can connect with. You know, you may not hire them, but you may be able to talk to them, engage with them, speak with them. They can offer insight, inspiration. There's a few in my world, and it's so special to be able to have that. So social media strategy, so having someone to actually look at the big picture of social media and be able to, and then take that internally and how that can be broken down. So again, this is a constant evolution, even for my business, like particularly actually right now. So I'm really looking to up my game with my strategy with social media, with PR. PR should actually be on that list too. So you can use that externally. So hiring a PR firm or getting someone to really help with media relations and getting that expanded quite a bit. Bookkeepers, financial advisors, important. You can do it internally. I know some people who do their own bookkeeping. Of course, it does save costs if you've got that mentality and you're able to sit and open a spreadsheet and track your stuff. Good for you, not for me. So I do have those people who help me with that. But it's all part of the business, and this is the stuff that sometimes you don't realize. You know, those two things are something when I first started, you don't realize the amount of time and effort that's actually required for all the financials to come together and the costs involved with it, unfortunately. But when you have a legitimate business, it costs to run it, and those are some of the kind of hidden costs that are in there that just add to the monthly. So we can get into that later. Oh, no. Okay. It got a little bit squished. So creating a community online. As you're probably hearing a lot at this conference, that there's a lot in the digital world. So I'm going to touch upon this. It's not a huge core of my business, but it's definitely a part of it, absolutely, because that's how people register. That's how people connect with me. My social media platform is, you know, worldwide, and it's also local. So it's so important to utilize those platforms to your best and make sure that you're using the platforms that are the most critical to your business. So there's so many of them, you know, these days, being in a food business, Instagram is awesome, and, you know, Facebook and Twitter, but some people are, you know, more need LinkedIn, some people are using Google Plus, whatever it is, and that's for you to kind of figure out, but there's so much of that. I'm not going to get too much into detail. This isn't my area of expertise. This is something I definitely use in my business, but I'm not going to speak about it. So, but one thing I am going to mention is balancing posts and tweets versus sales information. So important to be able to share what you're up to, you know, sell what you're up to. We're all, you know, business. You got to sell what you're up to. But also you want to engage people too in a fun way. So this is constantly a balancing act. You know, my studio and with my team is just trying to figure out how do we make sure we're not selling too much and we're sharing fun content, things that are happening, you know, keeping a good vibe going, reposting stuff that's just good energy, just so people know where your passion and where your drive and everything is coming from. So if you're sharing, you know, a like-minded business's picture of something and you're just kind of keeping the flow going. So really important to balance that and not just be too hard on the sales with people. And even if you are, try and soften it with like a tip that's for them or, you know, something that it can just bring it home and will make people want to buy eventually. Newsletters. So important. So the value of newsletters that I'm still constantly learning is how good those are to keep your community engaged. Of course, at the same time, I'm on the receiving end. Getting newsletters, of course, is, you know, can be annoying. But if you're really valued or tuned into certain people, you're going to be excited to get their newsletter, right? So maybe you've narrowed it down to like 4 or 5 communicators that you want to receive what they're up to, what they're doing. So, but you want to, again, bring value to it. So bring sales to it, but you also want to bring tips, recipes, fun stuff that you're up to. Speak to your audience, and I'm still working on my newsletters. I'm still trying to find the right rhythm to, you know, make sure that people are opening them, people are clicking on them, people are buying from them, or responding, just saying like, hey, awesome, saw you on this, or see what you're up to, just to engage. So constantly getting it up. There's so many different platforms. That's another conversation. I'm not going to get into that. A lot of them are the same. Just find that one that works for you. Blog posts, super important. So I was doing that a lot in the beginning. Kind of took, I'd say for a couple of years, I was doing a lot of blogging. Then I took a bit of a step back when I was building the business and opening up the studio and kind of tailored them down a bit. And now I've picked them back up again. So I'm trying to get the content out because I'm realizing the importance of SEO and searching for my website and getting content out there and making sure that you're the person that people are finding when you're talking on a certain subject. So if you can, even if they're small posts, get blogs out there about what you're up to or what you're doing or just fun stuff, or if you read an article, report on it. So keep that going. And this is a message for me because I'm trying to keep this going too, but it's a fun way to engage. Who's blogging? It's an idea. Awesome. Great. So starting to sell what you love online. So because this is a little bit, I'm not fully a digital business, but at the same time, I need to sell more than just my cooking classes. People in, you know, the US aren't necessarily going to come to a cooking class, right? Maybe if they're in town. But I needed to be able to provide some value to all of my audience. So I put together an ebook, a series of ebooks on topics that people were constantly asking me about. Meal planning, health and fitness, superfoods. So I now have, I think, five ebooks on different subjects that over the years I was able to kind of put together anywhere from 10 pages to 30 pages on something just to get it up. And we're talking like a PDF, something very simple that was uploaded so people can buy very cheaply and it's available. Does it make me a lot of money? Not really, but is it available to anyone in the world? Sure. And my meal plan is something that's new that's available. And I'm excited about this one because I'm actually going to be building this out into a little bit more of a program. So that's kind of on the works right now. But again, it's something to be able to sell online to the people who can't necessarily get to me because I am a brick and mortar business. So I am, you know, I'm still figuring this out, and I'm also in the works of trying to build out a little bit more of a digital strategy for my business. So keeping that going. Who here has digital products, just to get an idea? Quite a few. Ebooks, mostly? Yeah. Okay, just want to see. So this is really what has really helped grow my business and grow my brand, is the art of networking and forming strategic alliances. There is nothing more important than meeting with people face-to-face, making those connections, talking to people, engaging with people. I can't even tell you, between all the communities and products and different people that I've worked with over the years, the teams that I've formed externally, like with different brands and companies, been huge. For me, either emailing, calling, or someone from my team and making that real. It's one thing to just like, you know, buy a product and then stand behind it and say, you know, if you have a store, to be able to buy, you know, a certain line of them and say, you know, this is great, this is wonderful. But it's one thing to actually connect with who formulated that product, why it's developed, who it is, and then forming those relationships so that eventually it can turn into sponsorships, eventually it can turn into all kinds of different fun events that you might do with them. So this is all from meeting people, talking to people, communicating with people. And I'm just going to quickly share my story. Breakfast Television, I was on earlier this year, and it was a goal of mine to be on Breakfast Television, but I didn't know how. I figured I had to hire a PR firm, I had to figure out all these like logistics to get on BT. So what happened? The law of synchronicity and attraction. I was at an event speaking in December, and I got the chance to meet Dina face-to-face, and I gave her a copy of my book, and we had a great conversation. We just met. I really didn't have maybe a little ulterior motive, but I really just wanted to connect with her because it was just cool that we were both speaking at this event. And through that connection, she got to meet me, got to see me, and she's just like, we're going to get you on. And it didn't cost me anything. I didn't have to hire anyone to do that. It was just from meeting someone, and that led to some other, you know, media things that I had earlier this year, which was great, all through connection. So I'm just talking about the art of human relationship connection, and I really want you guys to take that away today, how important that is. There's only so much you can do on the online world. Meeting people and experiencing them is so important. And then aligning with companies, products, I kind of just touched on this. Finding the ones that, not the ones that are going to make you the most money, the ones that make sense to you. So really making sure if you're going to sell another product, it makes sense to you. So important. Again, like I would never sell a protein powder, a superfood, or whatever it is, unless I knew exactly what it did to my body, and also unless I knew exactly what was in it. So when I get all those questions that you're probably going to get too, you know how to answer them and be able to vouch for them. So sending emails, making follow-up phone calls, defining how they can help you and how you can help them. You want it to be win-win. And sometimes it's not. Like I've another partnership that landed this year was me with Fresh Restaurants. So I'm doing a cooking class series with Fresh. And it's a total win, you know, it's a win for me. It's a win for them because it offers something really cool to their clientele. And it's something different that Fresh has never done. They've never really kind of expanded beyond their restaurants to someone else. And me and Ruth, like, had a great conversation. She's the creator of Fresh. And I was very lucky to be able to just develop a relationship with her, and we just had a conversation. We're like, how would this turn out? Oh my goodness, this sounds like a great idea. Came to fruition, and here we have this awesome partnership in the city of Toronto to be able to add value to people who typically dine out, who maybe now want to learn to cook at home, which is my passion, and a beautiful synergistic relationship came out of that. So I'm really honored to have that come to life, and we're in week 3 of 4, so the fourth one is coming up this Tuesday, and I'm really excited. So working together, collaborate, team up, and meet others in businesses like you, share ideas, meetups, groups, things like this, they're so important. You might learn so many different things from other people who are doing the same thing as you, but in a different way, and it's so important to share ideas. Again, I'm very lucky in my realm of what I'm up to with nutrition. There's quite a few other people who I'm my colleagues and friends, we share, we collaborate, we refer each other business. It's so nice and so important, but we all have our own niche. So, super important. So, we're going to get into, kind of change gears a little bit now, into the brick and mortar business, my food studio and lifestyle shop. Who here, just to get an idea, who's been there? Just, I know a few people. Awesome. So, it is 510 Eglinton Avenue West, and this is my dream come true. So, you know what? They really do come true. So, I really, again, when I first started my business way back when, had no idea that this was my ultimate vision. It's not like I started and was like, okay, one day I'm going to open up this cooking school and it's going to do this and that. No idea. Formulated kind of on demand. But I did put together my dream kitchen. It did cost. So it didn't come out of nowhere. So I had to create it. You know, every light bulb that you see, every chair that you see, every pillow, every ounce of it was me. And I was my team at the time. I didn't really have, you know, of course I had my family, I had friends, I had whoever's working for me, but still at the end of the day, I was the decision maker. I was the one with the wallet. I was the one who had to create this and come up with it. And again, I had no idea how, because you have to figure out where those finances are coming from, even if you don't have them. So, number one, we're going to just talk a little bit about location. So how many people, just to get an idea, how many people either have a brick and mortar or are looking to open one? Okay. So who's looking to open one? Just leave your hands up. Okay. Just to get an idea. So really important, location, location, location. Do your research, sightsee. So I ended up, it was so tough. The first step was really hard to find a really good commercial real estate agent or someone who could take you that you actually trusted, that actually cared about you and your business. I won't get into that. So I finally found someone who was actually ended up being a family friend, and he took me to see a couple places. And I finally found one on Eglinton, and it was nothing to kind of convince me because I saw some other beautiful spaces that didn't even look like I had to do the infrastructure or the first layer of work. I should have put a picture up here of what it looked like before I transformed it. I did put a picture on. I'll try and share it with you guys at one point. But it was a raw space. It looked like a construction site. So there was nothing about it that really spoke to me like this is a cooking studio. It was the energy of it. So it was Midtown Toronto. It was a space that just spoke to me, and I knew that I wanted to do something with it. It was on the second floor, and I'll get into the challenges and the benefits of that. So you got to find a place that you can work with, so whether it's already created for you and you can just step into it, depending on what your business is or what you're going for, or if you have the chance to renovate it a little bit, or at least modify it to tailor it to your own needs so you can create it as your own space, really important. I was able to, well, I had to do that. I didn't have a choice. It was a construction site, so I had to do something with it. And I was lucky too because I got to create it and make it my own, as you guys just saw. So the challenges of the second floor, it's the second floor. You're not, you know, visible on street level. People can't peek in and see what you're up to. It's a little bit tough to, you know, get people to come upstairs and know what you're up to. And I am a shop. I'm not just doing cooking classes. I am open during the day, but people didn't really know that. It's been 2 years now, and I'll get into this probably the next slide, of how now the community is, like, waking up to what I'm up to in the area. So second floor, so that's a challenge, but, you know, the nice thing about it is, you know, I do have a bit of privacy and all that, but at the same time, I do want people to know who I am, what I'm up to, that I am there. The benefits of being by appointment, because I'm not just reliant on street traffic, that's the good news, too, is that people are booking a cooking class, so I know they're coming. I am open during the day for people to shop and come into my space, but I'm not dependent on that for my sales or for my business growth. So, you know, it's a bit of a way out, and, you know, it's cheaper to be on a second floor. That was kind of where I went to. I was like, okay, great. There was someone on Bayview that was huge space, glass windows, totally visible. there was no way I could do that, stepping out from where I was. So I kind of weighed things both out, and I was on Eglinton, you know, a mainstream street. So I kind of took the best of what I could and then went on the second floor. Who has a street-level business a few people. Yeah, it's, you know, definitely helpful. So I'm very lucky that because I was the first person on the floor of where my space is, there was a brick wall right beside it. I was very lucky to tell my landlord, I'm going to take most of that wall and I'm going to put a glass frame on it so that people knew who I was, so people walking by know that there's something upstairs. So I was very lucky about that. So other things to consider, is it public transportation accessible? Is there parking? Is there walking traffic? What's the demographic of the area? Are you moving into a space that people who are actually walking around going to actually want to come to your business? And again, I wasn't reliant on that because I already had a business before that. I was already teaching. I was already had a community. I already had followers. So I wasn't totally dependent on the new area. I was just hoping that now that I am in a new area, hopefully I can get new people. So, but I knew that the area that I was moving into was families, young families, and people who would definitely be interested in what I was up to. Construction, I am on Eglinton, so I am dealing with a little bit of that. And I knew that going into it, but I don't think I realized how bad or how much that was going to affect me. But you know what? Because I am by appointment, it hasn't affected me that much. So I'm very lucky that people are still coming to the classes and still showing up despite the traffic. I've changed the time of my classes so that people can get there on time because most of my classes are in the evening. So I've just kind of modified my business so that I can hopefully cater to people coming to the class. And street traffic and noise, something to consider. So overhead, you know, I went from not paying any rent to paying rent and an increasing rent every year. So it was definitely a big change for my business, for everything I was doing, you know, cost analysis. It was just took things to another level and one that I'm still figuring out because, again, there's so many hidden things that you don't realize that you need to pay for. Water, hydro, then your landlord says you need to pay for this and that, and it's just unbelievable what comes into the picture of that monthly. So it's so important to take that into consideration when you are considering a brick and mortar space. So two words for you, bank loan. So this is something that I definitely, you know, when I started to know what the rent was going to be and taking over the space and the leaseholds that were involved in getting the business going, I was lucky enough because I had an established business that I was eligible for a bank loan, and they did want a business plan. So it kind of scared me because they were like, okay, we need to see a business plan of what you plan on doing with this space. I was like, oh boy. And I think Scotiabank has like an online like template that you can fill out. I don't even know how I managed to work my magic, but I didn't have to write a business plan. I just ended up talking to my bank manager, you know, talked about the goals. Obviously, I had to do a spreadsheet and talk about where the business was going and the numbers and things like that, but it wasn't as detailed as I thought I needed to be, but just more logical. So I was able to get my bank loan, but unless you have an investor or capital or some other financial means, I didn't have that luxury. I needed the bank loan to get me going. And you know what? It's a beautiful thing. It's a win-win. You're able to do what you need to do and kind of still have the flexibility and hopefully grow your business ultimately. So the bottom note, do not rely on contractors or designers. At the end of the day, there are so many, I wish I knew this, I wish I got some better guidance when I was first opening my business, because anyone who was helping me create the business had no idea to tell me that I shouldn't listen to half the people that I had hired on. So I ended up managing, project managing, designing. My contractor was useless. It was such a waste of money. And I cringed the fact that I had to pay someone who had no idea what was going on with the build out of my business. So luckily I was on top of things. Being the person that I am, I was able to know where things were. When I go into my space and see something happening, I was like, isn't that like carve out supposed to be over here? Like things that I learned a whole new art of how to build a space, and like now I know I can build a kitchen, but it was because I was so invested, because this was my baby. I didn't have, you know, someone sweeping in and doing it for me. I was so committed to knowing every inch of what was happening. So if I can advise you, if you're doing this, try and either get people that you like really trust and know that they're going to really help you, or do it on your own, because you'll know best. Again, if you're passionate about it, you'll figure it out. So big area. So getting creative to pay the bills, getting a line of credit, super important, definitely for the early stages. Keeping the momentum going by doing what you love. So the early stages are tough because I came into the space thinking, okay, I'm just going to teach a class every day. This will be good. You know, people will be coming and I'll, you know, if I just double the volume of classes, it'll all work out. Didn't work. You know, volume wasn't necessarily better. So I've only learned that over the last, like, I don't know, half a year and a half, more or less. I've kind of changed the dynamic of my business to kind of keep a flow going because more wasn't always better. Now I'm offering more quality courses, more spaced out, bringing in different people to come in and teach, doing other kinds of creative ways to use the space during off hours. I have people renting it, so not as much as I'd like right now, but quite a bit. So different things that I can really thinking beyond just the box of, like, I just teach cooking classes. So now it's so much more than that, and the space really offers that. And then there's other financial means too, writing, video work, different things that you can, collaborations that you might develop. So there's just hopefully lots of ways that you can, you know, develop to and be creative to making the financial thing work, especially when your costs have gone up quite a bit. So I really, a couple of tips there. But if you do have a space that you're not doing something in it 24/7 like mine, it's good to be able to rent it out a little bit. So connect with your community and your neighborhood. So again, it's really important. And I found this really tough in the beginning when I was on my street because I found there was such a, I guess some people knew that I was there and some people didn't. They had no idea. You know, people are just like we all are. You know, you're walking on the street. Half the time you don't even know what the stores are that you're passing. And, you know, I kind of made people feel wrong for that. I'm like, how do you not know that I'm above the Abbot? How do you not know that I'm on the street? But we're on a mission. Like, we're on the go. So I put an A-frame outside and, like, kind of block people in their track. Like, this is what I'm up to. Cooking classes. Come up, get a smoothie. Come up, get a tea. You know, just so people know that it's not off limits. That, because some people think, like, certain studios, you can't go there unless you have an appointment or unless there's a class. So I really wanted people to know that they could come in. I offered samples and done different things. So the on-the-street thing, getting out there on the street is really important. I plan on doing more of that in the spring, really getting out there and showing people, like Starbucks, you know, just handing samples out to everyone and getting people upstairs and creating a buzz. So that's something that I have been working on, but I've been realizing now over the last couple years, now that, you know, there's been a little bit more press and things around the studio. Being on BT at the studio was huge. So people are like, oh, I saw you on Breakfast Television. Like, now you're good enough. Now I can come inside. So people on the street were like, oh, I pass here all the time. So it was interesting just to see the response of that. And I've also started to connect with different businesses on the street. So different gyms, different Pilates studios, whatever it is, we're creating workshops together, doing some synergistic things. And now it's starting to become, you know, more of a community environment, which is what I was always hoping for. Just took a year and a bit, a little bit longer. So communications, workshops with like-minded businesses, and circulating flyers and postcards. So last year when I had my first open house at the studio, I circulated postcards and flyers to the whole area, but not one person from the area actually came. Who came? My loyal followers and fans, people on Facebook, people in my newsletters, people who actually already were bought into me, but it was interesting. So I don't know if that works. I don't even know how many I printed, but so many, I swear, not one person. And I even was offering them like a free something. So it was really interesting just to see what people are willing and not willing to do. And trust me, I was a little bit against this because there's nothing worse than getting, you know, mail in your junk box that you don't really want. We don't want that. But I tried to make it really fun. I like gave like information on the card. I tried to be a little bit different. Anyways, trial and error, right? It's all part of it. You got to try different things and see what's going to land. So just remember, no one will ever care about your business as much as you. You are always going to be your best employee. So prepare for late nights, long hours, cleaning. Like this, it's your baby. You're going to be the one at the end of the day that's there. My day starts at, you know, 7 or 8, ends at 11. Like basically 2 days in one. I've got my daytime day where I'm doing work at the studio or I'm out and about or at appointments or doing talking. And then if I'm teaching that night, it starts all over again. And I'm on adrenaline until like 11 o'clock at night. So I'm there at the end of the day. I'm the one, you know, wiping off the counters at the end of the night or packing up the garbage. It's all part of it, right? You're always going to be the best employee because if it's your baby, if you're the one unlocking that door every day, if that's your space, it's your space. But it's the best feeling in the world. The first, you know, couple of times, and still every once in a while when I'm actually focused and I walk into the studio and I'm like, this is my baby. Like, I created this, and because I wanted to, it came to life. People are coming. People come to classes. They're excited. All the experiences that have happened there, and it's been only a year and a half, almost 2 years, It's so rewarding and so very special. So it's my slice of heaven. I built it. I created it because of passion. So what else am I up to? Just a couple quick things. I've got a podcast with my boyfriend, Jesse. We are doing some really awesome things in the health world, and this is kind of a fun, you know, project that we're up to right now that we're engaging with a lot of incredible people. So it's available on iTunes, so feel free to download it. It's a great resource. And connect with me on my community. So be in touch. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and I love to connect with people. So I hope to see you there and share with me. And thanks for coming today.